Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Youth group, let's get up here. All you campers, especially after I embarrass some of them. Sorry, Victor. But first of all, thank you very much to everybody that supported us. You're able to help us every year so that we can go to camp. It's something that I do believe makes a real big difference in these kids' lives. It's a time where we just get away and our only focus is God. There are some games. That's a lot of what you saw, but I'm not going to be in there the whole time while they're, you know, discussing certain things. All right. So, we're pouring our heart out and it's like, yeah, but no. A lot of what you don't see is the biggest part of camp. And that's the change in their hearts. The fire that's lit in them. And it's just amazing. One thing is, I don't know if you see these amazing jerseys. Yeah? Yeah? All right. This was I know he probably doesn't want it, but Randy, thank you so much. Hey, can you actually come up here? Come here, Randy. And we just want to give you one of these. Yeah. If you need to switch it out, we'll. Yeah, so thank you. And then also Tommy. This is a guy that helped us get it here on time. Because, I designed these so long ago, but, we needed to get them made so fast. So, quick, he got it. He got everything done. And just thank you. Should I take it out of the bag so it's, super official? Yeah. Yeah, we'll hang it from the rafters. Yeah, but thank you so much. Thank you.
Randy sponsored.
Yeah, but Randy sponsored. So thank you so much, Randy, for your generous donation, and Tommy for all the work you put into that. All right.
And Abe for designing them.
Oh, and me for designing it? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see if any of these kids are going to talk here. Ready? Any testimonials?
What's up, everybody? My name's Evan. It's been 7 years since I've been at camp, and I'm very grateful to come back. It was a blast to be with these young people, and it's my last year, and hopefully I come back as a leader, and it was really awesome to be back with God.
I had written some things down, but I think I'm just going to go, right now. But I just felt like at camp, I just, tried to have fun, and I, made camp the most of camp. And I feel like every day, just try to make the most of it, praise God. Just, try to have fun, try to spread the word, and God's blessings will come.
I had a lot of fun. The games were really fun, but left a couple scars. Basketball was hilariously fun. Tackled a couple people. But it was just really fun and exciting to see how many kids and how many of the young people, the youth, are getting close to God. It's really something to see.
One thing that happened during camp is I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in quite a few months. So, yeah.
I'm Ani. I think that camp went really well. It was so cool to see all, mainly because, there was me, Selena, Lorelai. It was really cool to see Lorelai just get in there. We saw a whole nother side of Lorelai. I was telling her that. It's just normally here she's so shy, but over there she was into those games. Those games, she did not care. She was in every single game. So, it was so cool to see her get out of her comfort zone and then see all the boys just, praising together at the altar and, just seeing their lives change there at camp. And I think that there was, like Victor said, there was some scars, bruises, kind of got dragged across sand, but you know, it's okay. It's the fun of camp. But it was just so, it's so much fun to just be in the presence of God and also be with your friends and know that you have friends that, and other people that are your same age that believe in God just as much as you do.
Okay, so just so you know, we had 12 campers, so only half of them, less than half, are here. So just so you guys know, there are more, but I think some of them didn't come because they know they're going to have to talk today, but it's okay. So one of my favorite things about camp is just to see the youth worshiping, like their freedom in worship, because they're among other teenagers, so they feel more comfortable, and I love to see that. But I think my favorite part this year was the last night during our service, they had us break up into our church groups and had everyone, you know, pray as a church group for each other, and it's just cool to see these guys praying and the things that they say and the camaraderie that we had. It was so cool. So I just love our little community. So I loved that about camp the most.
So there was a few other things that at our final meeting, they kind of gave us some information about what happened at camp. Besides us, there was 277 total campers. There was 19 churches, which was a record. 21 first-time decisions for Christ. 81 rededications. 19 were filled with the Holy Spirit. 232 healing accounts, emotional, spiritual, physical, relational. And 47 heard God's calling. And 24 were called to full-time ministry. And now these are students too. So there's this thing called Speed the Light, where they have a certain area where they focus on donating money to help. Last year it was like a van to help in an area where children were being trafficked. What was this year? It was school to build a school. And like I said, remember, these are just like kids, right? They raised $1,987 so for that cause. So, and I know amongst us and our group, we had rededications to Christ. We had healing that was reported. So, you know, thank you so much for helping us to get there, to make it possible, because you really do make a big impact. Because, like, this really is the future. It's, you know, they will be, I mean, what grades are you? We're juniors going into seniors now? Yeah, seniors, right? This guy just graduated, okay? So I mean, we're not that far away from them being out there, okay? And the more we can build them up, the more we can encourage them and show them how to be godly men and women, the more we're going to see a change in this world, and more importantly, in their lives and them, or those around them.
I was just going to say, all the statistics that Abe just gave you, we were the first camp. There's 8 camps. So it's still going on throughout the whole month of June. So if you guys think about it, pray for them. And, like, that's just the beginning. So praise God.
If you'll stand with me, we'll pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your gift, Lord, your gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you said that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that today we know that we have a guide, we have a teacher, we have power, Lord. We have the the authority to do the things that you called us to do, Lord. Not because of our talents, Lord, but because of who you are within us. So, Lord, thank you that you saw us. You saw us here today, Lord, and that today we will make an impact in this world, Lord. Just as Abe said with these young people today, Lord, and even one of them saying, I finally got to see the Holy Spirit, feel the Holy Spirit in me for the first time. There is a first time for everyone, but let it not be a last time. Let that Spirit just flourish. Let it build up. Get to know the Spirit within you. And get to know the love that comes with it and all that the Father promised through Jesus, that it's yours today. So we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Henry, Lord, and the word that he brings us today, Lord. May it be from your heart to his heart, through his mouth, Lord, and that we would all receive what he has for us today, what you have for us today. We bless the worship team, Lord, to take us into that throne room, Lord. Anoint them this morning, Lord. Anoint each one of them, Lord, that they would share the talents that you have given them for this day. We praise you, we love you, we thank you for all you are to each one of us, Lord. And now we just want to go praise him, right? Yeah. Amen. Let's do it.
There was one thing about camp that I completely forgot to share, but there was something else too that kind of stirred up in my heart. But first of all, you know what? I just want to say thank you. We have some of the most amazing, encouraging, loving pastors in this church. I don't want to say thank you to them. Yeah. So thank you, Henry and Rosie. Thank you, John and Stella. I love you so much. I know McKay and I, we wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for your support. So thank you. Thank you. But you know, one thing I'm kind of like insecure about, which I shouldn't be, is like praying for people, right? Because I hear some amazing people all my life praying for others, and I'm just like, are my words enough? But you know, being at camp, I was just bold, and just whoever wanted prayer, I would pray for them. And I just thought, God, you're the one that has to speak through me, because my words, they're not worth anything. Whatever your Holy Spirit tells me to say, let me say that. And I'll tell you, like, I had to pray for some kids that were really going through some stuff there. Kids I didn't even know. You know, just sometimes all you have to do is step out in faith. And believe that God will be there when you need him. You know, there's times where I go to camp and I'm like, God, you know, I need something from this too. But this time, I felt strong. I felt confident. I felt good. I was in a good place. So the thing is like God gave me this thing to do where I could help others, where I could serve people. And that's the way we should all look at our lives. The theme of camp was prepare the way. And the speaker was Steve Svoboda. And the last message he left us with, he left us with this message, and it was from Leviticus. And it says, it's chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It was talking about the priest. And it says, the fire on the altar is to be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest will burn wood on the fire. He is to arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat portions from the fellowship offerings on it. Fire must be kept burning on the altar continually. It must not go out. And the same should be with us. For all of us that believe, you are a royal priesthood. You have your position in the kingdom. It is up to you to make sure the fire does not go out. Do everything you can to keep the fire burning. And he also shared this with us. He says, if we want to be the type of Christians that God works through, we need to have a daily personal relationship. Okay. I tell the students all this all the time. I tell them it's the youth group answers. Okay. Read your Bible, pray, and then just do what God tells you, right? So we should be the type of Christians that have that same fire burning each morning and day. And we should make sure that our lives are faith-filled and activated. And that God is going to work astonishingly through that. So those aren't my words. That was our speaker's words. But, you know, the thing is our faith is to be meant to be lived out. We're not supposed to be attenders. We're not supposed to be spectators. We're actually supposed to participate. And that's when you will see an amazing joy and an amazing peace come over your life.
I want to testify to the goodness of God in the way of his a way maker and a promise keeper. My mother had a promise that her and her house would serve the Lord. And as my family is coming about, my nephew and this tank have missed each other a few times. My nephew came one time with his towel all folded happy-go-lucky and there was no tank. Then the next week came, and then this week, and then on the journey, the Lord is making the way and he's keeping the promise. I'm testifying to his goodness, which is the spirit of prophecy, so I declare and decree in the name of Jesus that my family will meet this tank, whatever the Lord is doing as he's making his way and keeping his promise in my dad's home. I want to thank the Lord for it. And so along the journey, COVID came in and tried to, again, God is using this for his goodness and whatever he's doing in my dad's home. And I want to thank all you for your prayers. I spoke with my dad this morning and he is sounded really good. He sounds real good. His voice is a little scratchy, but on Thursday when he called, Betty and Linda and I were together and he was scared and he did not sound good and he said, I'm in trouble. And we stood in the gap for him, and today he is on the road of recovery. Daniel didn't come to the tank today because of it, but I do declare and decree that my nephew and this tank will meet, and I want to thank God for him making the way and for keeping the promise, and I want to do it all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. I don't know. I just feel the Lord is telling me that somebody needs to hear, don't give up. Don't ever give up, because God can take the worst things in your life and turn them around. You just watch him do it. He's done it for me. And just never give up, because he's a great recycler. Okay. And I wrote a poem this week, and there's a Bible verse that I've went by all my life, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord completely, lean not onto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. But this is the poem I based on it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the world around. For the world is shaking, unsteady, and not sound. Only Jesus keeps our feet on solid ground. Keep your eyes on Jesus, despite what you might hear. For everything's deceptive, but with Jesus, much is clear. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on what you feel. Emotions lead to trouble. Look to Jesus, he can heal. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on things you want. He supplies all our needs, on everything that counts. Keep your eyes on Jesus as you travel life's path. Read his word and pray. He will guide you through each day. He is our truth and way. Keep your heart praising Jesus and walk with him a while, and the troubles that you have will give way into a smile. Remember, he's our Savior, and he loves us all so true. Keep your heart praising Jesus because he watches over you.
Aren't you glad we have a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper? You know, one of the things that he promised us is that he would never give us too much or more than we could handle, right? Sometimes we forget about that, don't we? You know, we lose a job and suddenly we don't have a way. We don't have a financial way to get through it, but we lose sight of his promise. He always makes a way. As long as we trust in him, he makes the way. Sometimes we have a battle we have to fight, whether it's against an adversary, you know, in the physical term, or whether it's, you know, against a neighbor or a friend or something. But he's told us that he's the one that fights our battles. We dig in and try to fight that battle on our own, but if we would just step away and allow him to fight the battle and let him answer our prayers, our way maker, our miracle worker, will create those miracles for us. Sometimes we just get in the way, and I encourage you all, the words of this song are just prophetic, and I encourage you all to operate in your way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who he is. And as long as we keep our eyes focused on him, we can go through anything. Thank you.
Amen. Okay. So the word that I feel that the Lord was giving me this week, it was generosity. And when we, this whole thing with the camp and the youth and them coming up here, he began to unveil all the things related to generosity. Camp began, before they even went to camp, there was generosity flowing, and Abe mentioned it, the church, our pastorship, Randy. And from that, as people and as a congregation began to pour into that, into the youth, what happens at camp, camp is unique because it's a model of, I believe, the kingdom. It's what we should be living all the time. You have fellowship, you have friendship, you have the Holy Spirit just moving, you have activity, you just have this community of just, it's just a ripe environment. It's like being in the jungle if you're a plant. It's the perfect environment. And then you come home to the desert, right? And then it dries out. But that's not how it should be. So I'm not gonna get distracted, but generosity. So I said, Lord, show me in the word what you mean by generosity. And he took me to a very strange place. If you've ever heard the word peculiar, what does that bring to mind? Weird, unusual, right? So Deuteronomy 14:2 says, and this is the King James Version. I know Henry likes that. So it says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee," chosen. The Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Peculiar. Peculiar is not weird. Peculiar is uniquely belonging to another. That's what it, that's the core of that meaning. It means chosen, selected. So here's another scripture, and this moves to, and this is related to that, and then this is my favorite version. But it all works together, right? All things are working together. It's 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are God's chosen treasure." This is another word that was brought up today. Priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. Uniquely belonging to another. He did this. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. Generosity. So I asked Zach, "Hey, so what'd you get out of camp?" And he kind of told me some stories. He told me about the worship, how, you know, how they really got into it. We got to see some pictures and video of the kids just going after the king in worship. I was like, "Okay, good story. That's cool. You got to experience some of that life." But this week, as we were going, we went to go get something to eat. As we were coming out, there was this man asking, "Hey, can I have a couple dollars so I can get something to eat?" And so I had a couple dollars. So I was like, "Yeah, man, here you go. God bless you." And then Zach said, "Hold on." I said, "What? I gave him some money already." And he's like, "Hold on." And he gets out. He had some change left over. He had like $13. It's all that he had in his, he pulled it all out and he gave it to him. And I was touched, but he was talking to the man for a little while and I wasn't hearing what they were saying, but the man was overwhelmed with generosity. So he says, "Oh man, I'm gonna go inside and get me a meal. Not just a burger, I'm gonna go get the whole meal." Something similar happened later in the day, or in the week, I'm sorry, where we had gotten something to eat and he saw someone on the side and he says, "Hey, do you have any money?" He's like, "No, I don't have any." He's like, "Hold on." And he gave him, "Give him my fries." He gave him, we just bought it. We just come out of the drive-thru. So I gave him the fries and, "Hey, God bless you, man." And he's like, "All right." He starts eating the fries. Generosity is not just giving what you have out of your abundance. Generosity is giving it all. Is giving all you have. There was a story of the woman that came and she gave her mites, or whatever, you know, her pennies, whatever it was. But that was all that she had. And Jesus said, the priest and the Sadducees and everyone, they come and they give and they make a show of what they're giving, but they're giving out of their abundance and they have plenty left over. But she has given more than everyone because she gave all that she had. We see in the word stories of giving all that you have, not just arguing about 10%. Is it 10% of my earnings? Is it 10% of the net? No. In the Old Testament, it was bring the tithe to the church, and that's 10%. In the New Testament, that debate is all over, because when the disciples, after they were in the upper room and the Spirit of God came upon them, they gave everything they had. They didn't divide. They gave it all. They gave it all because they had been touched, because they had experienced the King. They had known Jesus, and now they knew the Father by the Holy Spirit. There is something that switches and changes in our hearts when we experience by the Spirit the King. And when we realize and hear these things, it says, "Hey, you are a holy people. You are priests. You are kings. You are peculiar because uniquely belonging to another. Be peculiar. Know who you are in Him. Be peculiar." Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I got a testimony I had to say before Pastor has to preach. But the Lord says all things are possible with Him that strengthens us every single minute, every day, every month, every year. And it's unbelievable how He has done so many miracles in my life. You know, He brought me back from that coma, and just recently I had an appointment with the doctor for a checkup for my diabetes. And, so they come, they poke my finger like always, and with the results, and the doctor comes in and she starts reading the results in front of me, and she looks and she gets a big old smile and she says, "Oh, I have good news for you. You are free from diabetes. You don't have diabetes anymore." And so the first thing I do, I yell and I said, "Thank you, Lord. Glory be to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus." And she just looked at me like, "Huh?" You know, and then she goes, "Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God." But I'm like, it's just believable, you know, that He never leaves us. He does miracles, and He's our way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, and He's always the light in our dark, in our darkness. Thank you, Lord.
He's healed me more times than I can say. Hallelujah. He's done for me more than I can ever imagine anybody would. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He is the way maker. Sometimes we don't think that He knows what's going on about us. Is that right? Sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves. Sometimes we think that, you know, "God, are you even listening to me?" But oh yeah, He's listening to you. See, God has a way of touching you in ways that you don't even know of. Can you say amen to that? Because He is a spirit. How many know that He's a spirit? Hallelujah. Did you know that today is the where we celebrate Pentecost? How many of you know what Pentecost is? Is that right? That's actually 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. The Jews kind of, they celebrate, they call it Sabbath. Sukkot, I guess you would say. Sukkot, and it's kind of a feast of weeks, 7 weeks, that they, it's like from springtime to almost the beginning of summer, and it's when they bring in their first fruits. The first fruits. Oh. Also, they celebrate it as a time when God gave the law of Moses, the five books, the if you will, the Torah. How many of you guys like the Torah? Yeah, and I love the Torah. I do. I love the Word of God. It's just, you got to love the Word of God. And thank you guys if you guys want to sit down, man. But they celebrate it as when God gave the law. But as Christians, the day of Pentecost is when the promise of God, where God said, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Can you say amen? Everybody in this room is flesh. Is that right? God says, "I'll pour it out on all flesh." Can you say amen? And He made a promise, and He said it's going to happen. And so we're going to look at that a little bit today. But this promise, the way we look, I mean, I don't know, maybe not you, but the way I look at it, when He poured out His Spirit, He poured out a new law. Can you say amen to that? I don't know if you get this or not. In the Old Testament, the Jews said, well, it's the law of Moses, the five books, the Pentateuch, the Torah, if you will. This is when God, and we celebrate it during this Feast of Weeks. 49 days. And they said, in those 49 days, bring your first fruits, because we're celebrating, and give them to God. But see, the first fruits are pointing to something. Jesus Christ was the first fruits. Can you say amen to that? The law that was given, that they're looking at in their mindset, they're looking at the law of Moses. The Bible says that God has given us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We got the law of sin and death, and you got the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus. I would tell you, I would rather live in the law Whew, amen. Of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Yeah. I tell somebody, I was saying this morning, when I was flying from, I guess it was Dallas to Cleveland, my son, and I tell him, don't do that again. He buys me first class seats. How many guys like first class? I don't need it. I don't mind. I don't mind sitting next to somebody I don't know. It's okay. Is that all right? But he buys me first class. I got this big old seat. And the best thing to do is sleep. They want to bring you these foods right out of the kitchen that they got on the plane. I don't want this. I don't want your food, man. It's okay. They tried to bring me chicken noodles. Are you kidding me? Just what I don't like. I don't eat chicken, lady. What else you got? She goes, we got some cheese. And we can give you some nuts, too. I said, no, that's okay. I don't want any. But I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten stuck on that. But I'm flying with this young man. And it was kind of crazy because when the plane was loading, this older couple sitting in front of us, they come in and they're talking this. They're Irish from Ireland. How many of you have heard that language? And it was very thick. But I could tell he was telling her, this is my seat, but I'll sit over there by the window so you can just get up and go whenever you want to. He's telling her, but it's got this real thick Irish accent. And I'm listening to it. I'm getting a kick out of it. I go, yeah, yeah, because I like languages. I mean, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I think the Holy Ghost loves languages. Can you say amen to that? So I'm listening to this language, and they're talking. And I'm looking. I go, hey, yeah. And then the guy sitting next to me is just kind of staying quiet. And when I said, sir, yeah. And I go, what language is that you're talking? And he looks at me and goes, well, it's English. He tells me, you know, it was English. And the guy sitting next to me hits me in the shoulder, and he's laughing like crazy, and we're laughing. And they're laughing. They're actually having a good time laughing. But what I didn't know, this guy sitting next to me was also Irish, and I hadn't talked to him yet, but his language was almost the same as theirs. They were actually off the same island. And they were asking about each other, and I sat there watching them talk. I go, you guys talk funny. And they go, yeah, we do. You know, and I just had a good time listening to them. And so plane takes off when we're flying. And for out of the blue, he asks me, he says, are you Catholic? How many know them? A lot of those guys in Ireland are Catholics. And he goes, are you Catholic? I go, again. I said, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. He goes, oh, well, what kind? What do you mean, what kind? What kind of Christian are you? I know, he goes, there's Baptists. And he names them Methodists. He named a few of them. And I looked at him, I said, sir, now, this is the title of the message today. I'm Pentecostal. And he goes, oh, you're one of them. And he's pointing his finger and he wants to say it. I get that tongue talker. He goes, yeah, you're one of them. I go, yeah, I speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, I was speaking in tongues this morning when I got up. And when I was coming to the airport, going through the checkpoint, praying in tongues. He goes, oh, he goes, I said, even get on this plane, I was praying. Well, what were you praying for? I don't know. I was praying. Maybe to talk to you. But I was trying to give him space. You know, a lot of times people don't want to talk all the way on a flight. I mean, you know that. So I just stay quiet for a minute, and he kept hitting me. Hey, and he'd ask me questions, and he's asking me questions, and he's asking me questions, and he keeps asking me questions. And I realized that God was doing something with that young man. Let me see. I really liked him. When he got his seat, he told me, he goes, will you pray for me? And I said, yes, sir. And I don't know what I did with it. He gave me his card. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I did with this card. I might have put it in my Bible. But he goes, will you pray for me? I said, yes, I will. I said, but I'm going to pray in tongues for you. He just smiled. And then the people in front, it was time to get off the plane, and they started talking real good. And I'm standing, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know. As soon as I get off a plane, I got to find a restroom. Is that okay? But I'm coming out of the restroom, and he's standing out there, and he goes, hey, you going to pray for me? And I said, yes, I am. His name was Dave. But pray for Dave. I believe God's going to touch him. I believe that God is going to do a work in his life that is uncommon to what he's used to. Can you say amen to that? We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the workings of the Holy Spirit in his life. Can you say amen to that? Folks, if we don't have the Holy Ghost, you ain't got nothing. Can I say that to you? Are you okay if I say that to you? You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Spirit. It is by the Spirit of God that you're drawn to Jesus. Do you know that? That it's his Spirit that draws you in to Christ. Jesus said it this way, no man comes to the Father but by me. And then he says, no man comes to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. And no man comes to me unless the Father draws him by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? See, you're saved by grace. Grace. Everybody say grace. Grace. It's not unmerited favor. That's mercy. Mercy is unmerited favor. He gives mercy to you because he loves you. And he says, okay, man, I love you. I see you did that. It's all right. My son died for you. Is that okay? That's what mercy is. Grace is not unmerited favor. Grace is the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of God upon you. When you're drawing you in, he's pulling you. Events in your life are pulling him, pulling you to him. It's the Holy Ghost. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Because I will tell you, friend, there is no glory given to man at all in anywhere, in any place. It all belongs to him. Can you say amen to that? God receives the glory for all things. Can you say amen? Praise God. Check this out. Go to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. Jesus is the first fruit. First fruit of who? Of us. Can you say amen? That's who we are. So in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36. Excuse me. How many believe that all things work together for good? To those that are called by God, they're called according to his purpose. How many believe that? How many believe that it says that, it says, old things pass away and all things become new. How many believe that? Everything becomes new. And then the very next verse in the King James, I'm sorry for some of you, but in the King James, it says, and all things are of God. Once you're born again, you're in the kingdom. Everything is of God. Can you say amen to that? I mean, there's nothing escapes God going on with what's going on in your life. Can you say amen? Yesterday, I was mowing my lawn, and I'm mowing along, and I must have hit the bird feeder. And next thing I know, I feel this pop in the top back of my head, and I look, is there a branch hanging here? And pop, I hear it again, and I go, what the heck? And I look, and here comes a bee. Steve and I were talking. They must come in with their rump pointed at you. He's coming in, and he's flying right at, and I turn my, I go, whoa, and I turn, and he nailed me right in the ear. And I will tell you, it is tough to believe that even that is ordered by God. Can you say amen to that? But I'm here to tell you this morning that this is what I believe. All things, not just some things, all things. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know what, folks? We got to quit being wishy-washy with God.
Right.
You either believe it or you don't. Oh, well, I believe it now, but if it goes bad, I'm not going to believe it. Oh, but if it goes good, I'll believe it. Is that okay? We don't do that. Can you say amen to that? That is wishy-washiness, and God is trying to get us out of the wishy-washy. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Come on.
Only five of you said amen. That's why I laughed. You got five said, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, whatever. I'm telling you, God is desiring that we grow up. Okay, say amen to that. That we be men and women of God, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the fruits of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that's what God's after. He is building a kingdom on the earth. We, therefore, receiving a kingdom, is what it says in Hebrews. We receiving a kingdom. We stand steadfast, believing the truth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You can go back and forth with the truth, but God is saying, believe what I told you and walk in it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We cannot be anymore. You're bought with a price. Come on, man. Glory to God. Oh, I better get to these. The Holy Spirit is saying something now. He's giving me some stuff. Here it says, as they spoke, Jesus. This is where Jesus shows up after his resurrection, where the apostles are, and they're kind of freaking out when he comes in. And he says, as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. And it could be kind of crazy. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And then he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered. Do you see that word? They believed not for joy. What? They should have been happy. Is that right? Not for joy, they were still a little scared and wondered. He said to them, well, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. You see that? Isn't that nice? When I look at that, I said, Lord, keep opening my understanding. I want to know you better. I want to know what you have. Keep opening my understanding. It says here that he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said to them, thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission. How do you like that? I like those two words, repentance. What is repentance? Whatever you're doing, you stop doing it. Can you say amen to that? Can I just say that to you today? You know what's contrary to God in your life. You know what's not good. You know what God doesn't want from you. Stop doing that. Just stop. Turn away from it. Stop doing it. Sometimes folks have a hard time stop doing it. Can you say amen to that? When I was drinking, I had a hard time stepping away from that bottle. But it took the Holy Ghost to get me away from it. Can you say amen? Anyway, stop doing it. But I like the word remission. That word remission, I think I wrote this down. Remission, forgiveness of sins and removal of the guilt and the punishment. Can you say amen to that? He said to them, it's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission, washing of your sins. How many of you believe that you still have sin in your life? You shouldn't. If you believe in Christ, Jesus paid for your sins on that cross. One sacrifice for all those sins. Can you say amen? Everything was washed away. No more shame. Can you say amen to that? Because, you know, can I tell you that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he was put to an open shame. Is that okay? It was a shameful looking place. He was exposed to everyone that was around. And his holy nature, his holiness, took on your shame. He took on your sins. and he forgave us. Okay, you say amen to that. Isn't that a good thing? Yes. And therefore, there's no punishment. Do you know what the punishment for sin is? Yeah. What is it? It's death. Yes. Death itself is the punishment for sin. Don't worry. Some of you are going, oh, no, here it goes again. He's going to talk about that death thing, man. You know, that we're hey, you believe God the way you want to believe God. I believe the way I want to believe. Can you say amen to that? I believe God has showed me this thing. I believe that revelation came into my heart in order that I might speak to a generation of people that live in the kingdom. This kingdom, there is no death. Is that right? Can you say amen to that? How many of you know nobody's dying in heaven right now? And Jesus said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The same thing way is in heaven, on earth. Can you say amen to that? He gave Adam the planet and he said, subdue it, have dominion over it. Can you say, in everything, can you say, by the will of God? God's will supersedes everything. It goes over everything, rolls over everything, pushes away anything that's not of him. And this is what the kingdom is coming. This is the kingdom that's coming. Can you say amen to that? We don't realize how close these things are happening now. And it's happening in the lives of believers all over. Hallelujah. He says this, he washed repentance and remissions of sins should be preached among his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. Who's that? I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Everybody say power.
Power.
What is the power of God? It's the Holy Ghost. It's he himself. Can you say amen to that? And Jesus tells him, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. Hallelujah. Our biggest thing, we don't like waiting. Is that right?
Yeah.
We don't want to wait. God, I don't want to wait. I want it now. I want you to do this now. God, I'm going to give you a week. If you don't do it, I'm out of here. Is that right? We want it now, but God says, hey, wait, wait. Jesus said, wait until you be endued with power. Can you say amen to that? I will tell you, if there's anything that I know, that when he reveals his word to you, he's given you a piece of power. Can you say amen to that? When he reveals to you that by your stripes, he has been healed, he's given you power to believe that. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Ghost comes with that word. When he reveals these things to you, you can walk in it. And who cares what your body says? Is that okay? All right. Hey, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That's all. I'm fine with it. Praise God. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Verse 49 says this. Jesus says, I send. See, God, because of what Jesus did, because of how Jesus died on the cross for us, he gave him, here, you pour it out, bro. Can you say amen to that? Hey, man, I don't know if that excites you, but I tell you, I get excited. What promises did he say? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Here's a promise that he said. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest where you may cause a weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. But this part right here, they would not hear. This, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Here's a promise. This is a promise. There's another promise that he has. It's Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. He says this. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon flesh. That's a promise, folks. And he says, it's going to happen. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. That was the beginning of that pouring out. And it's been happening ever since. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit has been pouring out his spirit. God has been pouring out his spirit all over to all. I mean, it happened in 1979 to me that he poured out his spirit upon me. It's come to pass that after I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I love dreaming dreams. I would rather see visions because I'm not an old man. Is that right, Johnny? Come on, man. Say, Lord, show me visions. I will see visions. I speak to him. I said, Lord, I'm ready for a vision. Lord, I'm ready. But if you have to give it to me in a dream, I'll take it. Also upon the servants and the handmaids of those days, I will pour out my spirit. God wants to pour out his spirit. Can you say amen to that to every one of us? Aren't you glad he did that for you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he gave you the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Tell him once in a while, God, I'm so glad you gave me the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Here's Jesus again. This is Luke writing, and who he wrote Acts. He wrote Luke and he wrote Acts. He said, the former treatise I've made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. So Jesus was walking around. I mean, after he had been on the cross, Luke is telling us that Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days after that. But 10 days before the Pentecost, he took off. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. All right. It's not okay. All right. He said, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things which pertaining to the kingdom. I just want you to look at that. Look at that real good, because this is what Jesus talked about. He talked about the kingdom. And when after he died, he's talking to his disciples for 40 days after that he has risen from the dead. 40 days he talked to them about the kingdom. Folks, I know. Oh boy, here he goes about the kingdom again. Folks, the kingdom is coming. It's coming in. It's within you. But God is going to raise it up to where it is clearly in control. Can you say amen? Daniel said, I saw a stone come out of the mountains. And that stone crushed the feet of this giant. It was his legs of clay and legs of iron. It smashed them. And it said, all the nations. Can you say all the nations?
Oh.
All the nations went to see this mountain. This stone that was cut out of the mountain. Who is he? His name is Jesus.
Amen.
The kingdom. Oh, come on, man. Folks, things are not going to continue the way they've been for all these years. God is changing things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I mean, come on. Whew. Well, I guess that'll happen one of these days. Hey, it's coming. Well, yeah, okay. We've been saying that for years. Listen, I mean, what is it that you believe? What is it that you hold on to? Oh, man, we got to hold on to these things. Whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be... Do you see what Jesus is saying? You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's telling his disciples that, the ones that have been listening to him for years. That same word pushes over into us. Can you say amen? If you believe in Jesus, the day you gave your heart to the Lord, God is saying to you, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's his will for your life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Folks, this is Pentecost Sunday. It's about the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this. You guys know these? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Praise God. I'm asking God to do that in here. God, when we're worshiping, when people are really worshiping, not just going, hey, hallelujah. What's going on over that corner? Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. But when they're really worshiping the King, I'm looking forward that they'd be filled with this mighty breeze that comes in. Yeah, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. All of them, not just the apostles. All of them, it sat on each of them. Can you say amen? Anybody in the room is going to get it. Can you say amen? Yeah, come on. And sat on each of them, and they began. Is that right? Is that the right word? And they began. No, maybe. We're waiting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Folks, I need to say that because I sense the Holy Spirit pushing and pushing and pushing. Almost every Sunday when I'm up here, He's pushing me. He's pushing me. Tell them they need to grow. Tell them who I am. Tell them why I've given them the Spirit. Can I just say this? People are afraid of the gifts of the Spirit or afraid of speaking in tongues because it makes them feel weird or because they don't know what they're saying. I don't know why. I don't know why. When I heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God, I want that. I want it. I got prayed for. I got slammed to the ground, got prayed for, didn't get it. I got spit on, being prayed for. I got prayed for all over. Every time the altar was, I'd run up to the altar. I'd get up there to get prayed for and would not. I said, God, I want it. I want it. It was in, oh, God, you got to give it to me. I need this thing. I see in your word, this is what it says. I need it. Jesus said to wait for it. How long do I got to wait? I don't know. It was about a year, so like my wife said. I'm not even in church. People not praying for me. They're not spitting on me. I'm outside. I'm feeding I had one horse and one cow. And the cow was a bony boy. It wasn't getting fat. So I'm out feeding these cows. But one thing I'm doing while I'm out there feeding them, I said, oh, say that I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus has come and my life's overrun. Oh, sakra la bukala lo boria. And I said, I got it. I ran inside. I called up my pastor, Pastor Dave. He said, yeah. I said, hey, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He goes, I got two things to tell you. I said, what's that? He says, number one, hang up the phone. Number two, go back out there and do what you were doing. And I did. From that day, I've been praying in the Spirit because it's valuable to me. It's something that I wanted, that I went after, that I said, God, I got to have it. And I really believe that God says, if you want it, you can come after me for it. I'll give it to you. Open up your heart. Let me hear how much you want my baptism. Let me hear. Can I just say this to you, that I have learned this? Speaking in tongues, it is a gift. Yes. It is a gift. It comes from the gift. The Holy Ghost is the gift. But speaking in tongues, let me just tell you, it is the rudimentary, the elementary beginning of things in your life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's just the start. It is just that little bit that begins, that once it begins to crank. Ooh, come on.
Come on.
I remember hearing, I can't remember what his name was. He was telling me, he was on the radio, but he was telling me, I guess. He says, he begged God. He goes, God, I'm begging you, give me the gift. Give me, let me pray in the spirit. I want to pray. I got to tell you something to you. Do you seriously, seriously think that your words can even compare to what God would pray through you? Do you seriously think that your thinking is better than what His Spirit could say out of you? Do you seriously think that? Because if you do, you don't know what you're talking about. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost knows what to pray for as He gives you utterance. Can you say amen to that? This pastor, I was hoping that through that the Lord would remind me of his name, but he didn't. But this pastor said that when I first got it, my first word was T. He said, I went a whole week saying, I went a whole week going T, 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 T. He said, but I'd feel, man, my heart would feel big and everything. And then he got another word. He says, it was a K, K, K. So he said he put them together. Kitty, 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 kitty. He said he went 2 months about calling the cat. He said, but the whole time he's praying in the Holy Ghost. And he says, and I can feel it. I can feel the power. I can sense it. Don't let anybody tell you that speaking in tongues is foolishness. And this thing is given to everyone, because everyone needs to know how to pray in the Spirit the way that the Holy Ghost wants to pray for you. Romans 8, you guys have seen the scriptures. You've seen the scripture where it says in Romans 8 that he prays for things that we don't know what we're praying for. Don't get away from it. I will tell you, it's a lifeline, if you will. The Holy Ghost is doing things. I want to take you because I tell you, I see this all over Scripture. And I got to tell you, I see it in the King James. Sorry. Sorry, Pastor. But nevertheless, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. I want you to see this, because this is a beautiful set of scriptures. And it's talking about the mighty God, the everlasting Father. But he starts out, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Can you see that? Can I tell you what increases the joy? The Holy Ghost. Joy is something that comes from God. Can you say amen to that? Not happiness. Happiness can come from God, yeah, but I'm telling you, what God wants you to walk in is joy. That's why it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. See that? The Word of God says this: in thy presence, O God, there is fullness of joy. Yes. Get in the presence of God. Pray in the Spirit. Watch how joy begins to well up. And it says, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. When people do things to me or my family or whatever, man, do what you want. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to let the waters of life wash and cleanse me of the things that I might be planning. You know what I mean? You touch my family, I'll kill you. No, I'm just kidding. No way. But the waters of life will wash and cleanse you. Come out, man. Woo, I feel better now. I'm not hurt. I don't get a chance to. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. Can you say amen to that? Oh, praise God. Watch this. People that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has that light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee as according to the joy of harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. That's when they're happy, when they've got spoil, when they get stuff. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know it's not good? It's not good just to be happy when you get something new. Is that okay? Some people got to have the first thing before it comes out of the box, because they got to have something new. Hey, man. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. I love this scripture. God breaks that burden that you're carrying. Can you say amen? Amen. Whatever's going on in your life, he breaks it. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor. You know that staff he's talking about? Probably in the old days, they used to have to get their water. And they'd carry this staff with a water jug on each end. God said, hey, the staff of your shoulder and the rod of your oppressor. As in the day of Midian. And then check this out. It says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. He's describing a war. Is that right? Warring. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. How many are warriors today? Woo! Okay, all right, just hold on just a minute because I'm going to shut you down on that. Yeah, a bunch of fighters. Come on. It says this, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Do you see that? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it. With judgment and with justice henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord shall do this. You see what he said there, that this is not like garments rolled in blood. This battle, listen to me closely. This battle is done by fire and the fuel of fire. Do you understand that? You listen to me. Listen to this. Can you take it back to that, please, Liz? Another one back. Here it is right here. This is with warriors, it's garments rolled in blood, but this will be with burning and fuel of fire. Do you know what that is? That burning and that fuel of fire is what they experienced in the upper room. This flame was upon their head. The fire of God. Denoting the presence of God. Showing the presence of God. Do you remember the bush? Where Moses would say, check it out, man. That's crazy. There's no smoke. I'm going to go see what this is. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. And it denoted the presence of God because God told him, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Moses pulls off his shoes and now God gives him some commands. See, there's a fuel of fire, and this is what they experienced in the upper room. It was the presence of God. I'm not only am I called, I'm Pentecostal, I'm also an Emmanuelist. Hallelujah. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. I believe that God is with us all the time. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. When I got bit by that bee, God was saying, ew, does that hurt? Yeah, it does, God. Yeah, but hey, God is with us. Can you say amen? The fuel of fire. Do you remember when those guys were walking with Jesus after the resurrection? And Jesus begins to talk to them and opened up the scriptures to them. Remember that? And then when he disappeared, when they went in to eat and he broke bread and he disappeared in front of them and they realized who he was, what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn? Wasn't there a burning? Wasn't this burning? Wasn't it going on in my life, in our lives right now while he spoke these words to us? There was a burning. Folks, is that burning going on in your life? Are you still burning? Or have you let the flame that, like Abe talked about it this way, have you let that flame go out in the temple? There's got to be a burning. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is good. You're going to like this. These three verses almost give the whole thing. You go John the Baptist to Jesus to the Holy Ghost. Is that cool? Here it is. Behold, I send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. So here you see the Lord. He will prepare the way before me. That's the Lord. And the Lord whom you seek. Excuse me. Shall suddenly. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. Isn't that what happened on that day? And suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Is that right? Suddenly shall come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. See, the Holy Ghost comes to give you messages of this covenant. Can you say amen to that? See, I will tell you, folks, pay attention to what the Holy Ghost and what the Word of God is telling you about the Holy Spirit. He's a messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Next verse says that. Behold, he shall come. Excuse me, I got a frog in my... Excuse me. He says, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who will stand when he appears? Now listen to this. He's like a refiner's fire. See, this battle is done with fuel of fire. And not by the warrior's hand. It is by the Holy Ghost that's within the warrior, that's within the man or woman of God. Who shall stand when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Do you see what God's doing? He has sent his Spirit to lead you and to guide you and to wash you and to clean you and to remove those little dirty details that's in your life that God would have you not part of. God, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Don't listen to people say, oh, you don't need that baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be talking in them tongues. I will tell you, he is the answer to everything you've got. Whatever your life is holding, he's the answer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's nobody like him. Because he is strengthening a kingdom today in the earth. 1 John chapter 1. This is the power verse or the key verse. 1 John chapter 1 verses 12 through 13. Says this. But as many as received him, how many have received him?
Thank you, Lord.
To them, it gave him them power to become the sons of God. To even them that believe on his name, can you say amen? I like what Terry was giving us a Bible study back here. He said, what's God's name? What's God's name? I said, yeah, that's good. That's a good question. Jesus, yeah. What is it? Jesus, what's God's name? Messiah.
Yeah.
Went through a line, but Terry said, what's his name? The Word of God. His name is also the Word. The Word made flesh. Is that right? The Word of God. God sent his Word, Jesus, to heal you. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then it says this, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Whose flesh? Our flesh. There was no way I could get saved on my own. The Holy Ghost had to invade my life, bring me in, and let me hear the words that I so wanted to hear. I have broken your oppression. Which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God. If you're born again today, it is God's will. If you're here today, if you're listening, and you've been filled with the Spirit, it is God's will that you are here. Not in this church so much, but on the planet today. It's his will. Is that okay? Are you okay with that?
Yes.
It's his will that you're here on the earth at June 8th, 2025. Is that right, John? Is that today? Is that today? June 8th, 2025. It's his will that you're here. For, I think Tommy read it. He said it, read it a little. For this expansion of this kingdom, that all the world might see and know the God that we know is so good. Can you say amen to that? How many know he's good? Could you stand just for a minute? If there's anybody in the house that you know you've asked for the Holy Ghost, you've asked to speak in tongues, and it hasn't happened yet, I just want to say something to you, that if you're saved, if you gave your heart to Jesus, this gift is already within you. It's already there. It's ready to be accessed because God wants you to have it. Because I will tell you what, as a pastor, what I would have my people, if they come to this house, my preference would be that they pray in the Spirit all the time. That just like the Apostle Paul said, I pray in the Spirit more than all y'all. Is that all right? Than all of you. That would be my heart. That people would pray in the Spirit, because that is, folks, I will tell you, that's what gets things done. That is. I don't really, and you guys probably know this, I don't really know how to be a pastor of a church. All I really know how to do is listen for him. That's what I hear. And when I hear it, that's what I say. That's what I do. And what I'm hearing this morning is that God is saying to you, he says, do not discount the prayer language I have placed within you. It's valuable to you. You will see its value if you begin to use it. If you lay it on the side and leave it alone, you'll never know how valuable this thing is to you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it like Jesus said to us. He opened their understanding. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that does everything for you. You without me is what Jesus said. You can do absolutely nothing. Nothing. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you this morning for each and every person that's here, Father. Father, I would pray, Lord, after hearing this message and those that will hear it on the podcast, Father God, I would pray that if they're having a mental block, Father, if they're having mental block, Father, wake them up praying in the Holy Ghost. Awaken their spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the prayer of the Spirit of God in your life that will carry you and take you to his will. Father, I thank you for your people, God. I ask you, Lord, to continue to watch over, Father God, their hearts, their lives, their words. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. Greece, say amen. God bless you. Have a good week. Glory to God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.